Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back, Fab. That's who you are today. No, I'm going to run out of words, right? I'm going to have to start rotating how fantastic you are. You guys rock. You are the best podcast audience ever. And I'm kind of in the groove today. So look, you guys, mission accepted. What mission have you taken since I saw you last? Are you guys getting like juiced up by these incredible, incredible people that come on the show and they are like rocking out their mission, whether they feel good about it that day or not? That's the deal. When you take the mission, there's no guarantee. We know there's no guarantee, but when you up the ante and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to quit my job I've had for 40 years. I'm going to listen to my girlfriend that thinks that we should go into business together. I'm going to go back to school and learn this. And I'm going to take all these risks. In there is not only joy and expansion, but it's expansion. It has a life of its own. And I just love, I have the best job, you guys. I have the best jobs. Get to talk to you, get to talk to super cool people about taking the mission. And some of these stories are just incredible, but at the very least, they're inspiring. And I love, we're going to have some Gen Zs back on soon. So you know what? I'm telling you, it's harder to get a Gen Z on camera than you think. You think they're all like selfied out and they're all over Instagram. You're like, hey, come on a show. They're like, Ooh, I don't know. I got to talk. I'm like, yeah, you need to share what's going on in your entrepreneurial world. They're like, let me think about that. Okay. Anyways, we have a brave one today. So Shelby, amazing woman that I met at this event for, guess what? Amazing women. And we got into having a conversation and here she is. You are going to see a lot more of this woman as well, because you're going to see her in the 262 book that we are launching. You guys know about that incredible book. You are going to hear her be able to talk. She's going to be one of the main speakers at the summit. So you're going to hear a lot more from Shelby, but what a great way to introduce our audience. This woman is a intimacy and relationship coach. And how does someone pick that as a job, as a career, as an entrepreneurial spark? Well, we're going to find out today. So Shelby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Great. Yeah. Good stuff. So, okay, let's just answer that obvious question. So how does one, you know, tell us your journey a little bit, like, where did you come from? Did you, you know, were you entrepreneurial always? Did you come from corporate? Did you, you know, go from dentistry to being a coach? Like, how does one do what you do?
I don't really know if anyone has taken the same journey as me. Mine is not a super typical one. So my background, my family is quite entrepreneurial. My dad has his own snowmobile racing business, which we were all kind of involved in, when we were younger, and he still has it today. But, that's kind of like entrepreneurial family. But my mom, my dad too, but my mom loves horses. And, so she was riding when I was still in her belly. Mm-hmm. and so my love for horses, I think, started before I was even out of the womb, basically. And so that's been like the trajectory that I actually went on through my life so far, and is where I'm actually transitioning out of now. So I always loved horses, rode, went and did my bachelor's degree for an equine program and got that. So it's an equine bachelor of bioresource management. It's a mouthful. Equine, it's agriculture and it's business. And so it's basically like to be able to run an equine business. And mm-hmm. my biggest I'm repeating words right now too. Interest was in reproduction with horses. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up going and doing this internship in Kentucky to get more knowledge about it, because that's where, that's just where I was guided to go, basically. And that became my life for about eight years. I've been doing this. I've been working with horses and bringing foals, which are baby horses, into the world. So I'm basically an equine midwife, and transitioning out of that. But what's interesting about my journey, coming into being a coach, is that my interest in reproduction it goes over to humans as well. Mm-hmm. Hence the intimacy part. So I'm trying to like think of where exactly this all came into place, but it probably started on my own journey of needing to heal.
Okay.
And so originally, again, going to the horses were like my comfort zone. And right. I think back to when I was a child, and or like just growing up, even in high school and whatnot, and thinking, you know, like horses are just better than people. and like you think of that statement and it's like, you know, I don't really want to interact with people. Like, why don't I want to interact with people? What's going on? What's behind that? Right. Like, why are people scary? Like, why can't I have relationships that I want to have? And it's that I choose to go to animals. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's something to that, and understanding that. And that's something that I've been understanding as I've been going on my healing journey, and realizing that, I've been in this like comfort bubble, but not actually stepping forward into things that really, give me my full purpose.
Yeah.
And so, I think the switch for me, it definitely started when my parents started having some issues. And when I say issues, I mean like they almost broke up and when I was an adult. I am an mm-hmm. adult.
Yeah.
So that happened, that almost happened. And that was really, upsetting, to say the least, and painful. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, I just remember like feeling all these really big feelings and feeling like the rug got pulled out from underneath me, that the people that I loved the most were in pain, but they were also causing me pain. And how do I deal with this? Cause now I don't know how to deal with this. I just, right. What do I do? And it started me on a mindfulness journey. And it basically started with, I think it just started with affirmations at the beginning. I was like, this is the peak interest. What is this? Right. What are these words and how is this supposed to help me? And so I was like, okay, we can start here. And then it kind of moved over to meditation. And then a friend of mine at the time, she had taken her Reiki training, so energy healing. And she said, I need volunteers. Basically, I need to practice this. Can I like, do you mind? Can I practice on you? I'm like, okay, sure. And I had known a little bit about it before, because we had actually, on my horse, we had, had Reiki done on him. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what she's doing, but we've had it done before, and sure, let's try it on the human. So I let my friend do this on me, and I was like floored. I had no idea what was actually going on, because I was in the turmoil of what was going on with my parents. I hadn't told her anything about what was really fully going on yet, but there was these messages coming through. I was feeling heat in my body. I was feeling cold. I was feeling like waves of energy. I remember I had my eyes closed and I saw like these bars of light going over me. Like it was this really new, not strange, but just new experience for me, that I was like, how is this something that's even possible?
Right.
Where, like, how did I not know that there was something that that could be tapped into that was like this is wild. And and then so that started me on a journey of also wanting to do Reiki, because I could see that there was a healing property to it. And it actually got me into the connection with like spirit, a greater something, because I grew up going to a Catholic school and it never vibed with me. And then this actually brought me to what I really truly believed in and could be guided by. So I went down the path of doing Reiki, and then realized that it wasn't enough. Like, it was really cool, but I didn't know how to explain it. And I felt like I was giving people healing in a sense, but I was still offering them more questions through the messages that were coming through me, and I wasn't giving them the answers.
Right.
And I didn't like that, because what am I actually doing for you here? Yeah. Right? Like, it's a cool experience, but if you can't maintain it, then like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel very as fulfilling as I want it to be. Like, I want you to be able to improve and better yourself. Right.
Right.
And something that I realized then too, is that, you know, even just in the training of doing Reiki, it's, you're not, you can't heal people. Only they can, right? It's their choice to come and do a healing session. It's their choice to do the work of healing, to move towards a coach, to do therapy, to do like whatever it is they need to do in order to get to the more healed place. Right. And, that's the end of my tangent. That's not the end of my tangent, but I'm stuck there.
No. That's so good. But let's unpack some of that, because there's some really great stuff in there. So first of all, interesting, right? I think that the fact that you were so drawn to horses, and they are so healing, and they're so kin. And I think, I mean, just what a great experience. Like, what, you know, that's a beautiful process, and how you grew through that, right? By wanting to learn how to, bring fools into life. I mean, that's a pretty powerful, healing, spectacular. When you say like, no one's had this journey, probably not. And then tapping into something outside of yourself that gave you an experience that taught you that there was something different. I mean, I think that when people step into healing work, or their first time into healing, or their first expression, or the first time that they experience it, I think it's relieving. I think it's exciting. I think it's exploring and expanding. And definitely, you know, one of the things we were talking about pre-show was just, how does healing affect us? And when we start to take our own healing journey, how does that change people around us? So I'm sure, even though we go through this process, and I remember for myself, when I first, you know, went to my massage class thinking I was going to learn massage, and next thing you know, there's rebirthing, and there's aromatherapy, and there's Ayurveda. I mean, it completely changed my world in such a surprising way. And it's such an interesting journey, because it's an internal journey, right? It's an internal journey. And then to have that experience and then want to gift it to others and have that understanding. And I think it's okay. Part of what I love in your story is that you had these great experiences, you were having joy, you went to school and had fulfillment, yet there was something more, and there was something more. And I think for me, when I hear you unpack that story, I think about how many times, even those of us that are in the world of entrepreneurship that have jumped off cliffs before, you know, there's this trepidatious time of like, you know, you may be doing something for a long time. I mean, I did 30,000 treatments in 27 years of giving people healing. And then when the time came that I had the decision in front of me to step more into a distribution of product versus service, and I was like, out of my mind a little bit. It took 4 months for me to go through that. And I kept saying to the universe, yeah, but I heal people. How am I going to do that over here? Like, if I'm meant to serve, and I've been serving people and they love it and they this, but you know, things were changing. The economy was changing. Our industry was changing. There was a lot of people that were getting put out of business because of Groupon, like, you know, offense if you're a Groupon lover, but you know, there's two sides to that coin, and people were having that experience, and people were loving what was going on over here, and the universe was showering gold over here. And it was really an interesting process. And for me, it was meeting a woman on a SkyTrain that changed everything for me, like literally changed everything for me. So I was on the SkyTrain coming back from a Thanksgiving dinner, which my son and I never take the SkyTrain. Especially coming back from, like, it just was a bizarre thing. And this woman walked on, and I looked at her, and I remember her hair was golden red. For me, she looked like a Celtic goddess. Like, she came in, but my son was 10 years old, must've been about 10, and he covered his mouth. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, he covered his nose, and he was like, oh my gosh, that woman smells. And I was like, I couldn't smell it. To me, she just looked like a goddess. And to my son, and then I looked, and I'm like, oh, she has garbage bags. I don't think she has a place to live. But she looked amazing. To me, she was like illuminating. And I remember it was a really tight time. I was going through my marital status change. It was like getting a new place, two kids of my own. And so we were not in a place of overabundance financially. And she didn't ask for any money. She didn't like nothing. And I tell my son, like, please, like, you can't like stand, you have to, he's like, no, she smells. And I honestly couldn't smell anything. So I look in my wallet, and the only thing I had was a bill that was larger than I would normally give somebody, particularly at that time in life. Like, it was a considerable bill. And I was like, I'm in my head, like, we need this, we need that, we need groceries, all that kind of stuff. And then I said, Deb, give your head a shake, right? Just give your head a shake. Stop it. You're fine. And then, so as we walked out of the SkyTrain, I just put this money on her lap, never turned around. She never asked for it. I never, nothing, just walked off. And when I walked off, I got washed full of tingles. And I was like, that's what you can do if you step over to this business other than this one. And that was my deciding factor. So I'm telling you this long-winded story. I think it's a kind of a cool story, but it's the, it sometimes it's difficult to go from one thing to another thing, or trust those prompts. Or when you say, I mean, how many people have the courage to say, well, you know, I took it, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't really fully what I wanted to give. It wasn't really fully where I wanted to go. So I think there's a lot to impact, you know, to unpack in what it is that you shared, because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know where we're going, but sometimes, but we know that where we are right now isn't 100%. Or we take a course. I love this. We take a course, we take something, and we're like, oh God, I want to change my, I've just done 2 years of, you know, this degree, and I don't want to do it. And with the fear people go through, or I don't know why I'm getting this vision. Like, you know, there's many people I've talked to, like, they're like, I knew when I was walking down the aisle, I don't know. And I'm like, how brave would it take someone in the moment of not knowing that that's the right step to do after all of the preparation, or taking the course, or signing the dotted line, or committing to the whatever, or getting your business cards done, to kind of turn around and go, So I'm excited to hear. So here you are. I'm excited to hear next piece. But I think that, you know, when you say, like, you know, there's a lot, there was a lot in there, what you said, I think it was really powerful. So Reiki, not so much for a full time. How do you go from that to being, I mean, look, you're an incredible relationship coach and you help so many people. So how did you get into that next step?
Again, it was all my own healing work that I just continued doing. And I kept searching for what I needed to do to heal myself, and for what, and basically just for what worked. And then I finally found, I found a particular, like online school that offered these really great courses and the certification that I ended up doing, and realized that, like, this is like, I took the certification after doing those courses, the original courses, just for myself, because they were working. And I was like, if I'm going to add something on, it's going to be this thing. Like, yep. This is, to me, this is the answer to the question that Reiki left open.
Right.
And so that's basically how I got there, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a journey, right? Life's a journey. Our careers are a journey. The world of entrepreneurship is a journey. The unfolding. I mean, I think that's where the faith comes in, or that's where the courage comes in, is that sometimes we don't know what's going to happen or unfold. And if you are in a healing journey, and Shelby, you know this, I mean, we all know those of us that have taken that step in, it is ever unfolding. I remember sometimes going, have I not healed from this already? Like, have I not talked to someone about this? Like, didn't we go through that childhood issue or whatever? What's it doing staring at me in the face again? Yeah. But as we, you know, as we unravel and as we heal. So what is it that people come to you for? Let's get into kind of the crux of your work. Like, what are the problems that you solve for people?
Oh, patterns, bad patterns.
Patterns that don't serve people, for sure.
Yeah. So, pattern, any type of relationship pattern, but I also really have, again, talking about like the horse stuff and moving it into humans, I have this really big passion for sex and sexuality and reproduction, like any type of sexual wellness type stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a super important subject to me, because for men or women or any gender that you identify as, your womb space, like where is like the sacral chakra area, that's where you hold all your emotions, it's where you hold the creativity and your sexuality, and it's where you need to like learn how to express yourself. And so if there's trauma in here, if there's stuck emotions in here, it can affect everything, period. Mm-hmm. Life kind of thing, right? So for me, it's This is still like, I know quite a bit of stuff now within sexuality and spiritual sides of things coming in. Like, I've done Tantra. Kink is a part of my life. There's the spiritual side of actually like getting in tune with your body, and just there's like so many things. And then all the regular in quotations, like vanilla side of sexuality, it's like emotional intimacy and physical intimacy, spiritual intimacy, like all those different things coming in together to bring you into this like beautiful sexual connection with self and with others is something that I find like really, really, really important to be able to help people through. And that comes through like just teaching. This is the same thing, whether it's relationship or with sex, basically. Like, again, intimacy is multiple things, but I'm using it in the term of sex right now. But like, what is it that you need? Like, do you understand what you need? Do you understand how to set boundaries and or consent? Like, can you offer consent and respect consent? Like, again, the boundaries that people are setting for you. Do you have wounding that's affecting the way that you are interacting with people, interacting in your sex life, and why you want sex in the first place? Like, what are all these different things that are behind you that we can work on together and heal so that you can have a better relationship and a better sex life?
So interesting. You know, like, I think that intimacy is such an impactful word, even, mm-hmm. right? Intimacy, what does it mean? So when people come to you for a session, they're looking for a deeper meaning, it sounds like, to me.
Emotional connection, I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, connection in general, whether it's to, realistically, if you're coming to me, it's because you need a deeper connection to yourself, whether you know it or not. But right. if you're seeking something in another human, you're seeking outside of yourself.
Right.
It means that you're not actually intimately aware of what you need.
So when people come to you, is it more like one-on-one sessions or
Right now it's more so one-on-one sessions. I am thinking it's in the game plan to offer group sessions as well. I know that my superpower is dealing with people one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I really like to give people I want emotional connection. That's, again, one of the reasons why I'm branching off into this. Like, one of my biggest needs is this like emotional connection, having like these really spiritual, meaningful talks. And I get that through these one-on-one connections and doing like helping people with their own healing. Right.
Right.
And sorry, I keep doing my little tangents, and I think I have more. And then
that's perfect. So, you know, I think that's important because people sometimes look, when we need something, sometimes we don't know what we need. When we're drawn to somebody as a coach or a trainer, sometimes we don't always know. Or sometimes it's just something doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not comfortable, or we're not having the experiences that we want. So you know, maybe share a little bit about like when people contact you, what's going on for them? Is it their relationship has ended and they're in pain, or they're have, like you say, patterns? It's like they keep dating the same person, or there's unfulfillment in their relationships. Like, what is it? What would be an indicator for someone to go, wow, I think Shelby might have the answer for me, other than been like drawn to you through what hearing you or seeing your card or your website, like mm-hmm. other than the magical ways.
I really believe in those magical ways. If you feel
like, I know,
just come in. Like, it's probably right. Okay. So I guess like the basic problem is, again, is those negative patterns. So you notice, you know, you've been dating, you've been searching for your soul partner, or you're with someone, and you notice like the same arguments coming up, the same things that are happening. You're reacting the same, they're reacting the same, and nothing, like, it's just tiring, but you can't seem to get out of whatever this is. It's because there's something that you're not aware of. And again, it goes back to what I was saying before. It's like, there's these core wounds that are probably stuck there. Like, you're not feeling safe. You're feeling trapped. You're feeling unworthy. You're feeling like there's something wrong with you.
Right.
It could be any of those things that are coming up, and it's amazing at how it actually affects people in life. Like, one that came up of being, it's like being dysfunctional, like, it can act that actually that wound can stop people from healing, because they're like, there's something wrong with me, and I can't fix it. Right. So And that's so hard because like everyone can fix you. This is something we can fix, right? There's no reason that we can't, you can't change. You can't, period.
Yeah. Perfect. That's a great message. You know, if someone, no matter what, we can always change. Right. And let's talk about the magical. Let's talk about the, you know, when the book falls in front of you, when someone's business card that you've had in your suitcase that you never knew was there 3 or 4 years and you're unpacking and you find it and you're like, oh, like the universe or however you want to talk it to yourself shows up in many different ways. Oh, I thought I was going to be watching this show, but this show came on. Or, you know, my friend couldn't make it tonight. And man, I planned everything. I was super disappointed. And all of a sudden, you know, something comes online and you watch it. Or there's a movie that pops up on Netflix. You're like, you know what? I think I'm going to really watch that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's perfectly full of messages for you. I mean, that's kind of how it works, right? That's how
it works. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, going in a completely different direction because we've heard your story. That's amazing. Lots to unpack there. And now here you are in this, you know, beautiful career, helping others and serving others and helping them get connected to themselves. So I always kind of like to just maybe ask a little bit of an obscure question that's kind of just shift that energy a little bit going into your future. And because I always believe kind of putting it out there. So what are some of the things that are in your personal, you know, Shelby's, you, your life working in this world? What are some of your bucket lists? What would you like to accomplish? What would you like to, you know, what's some of the things you like to check off in your bucket list? Put it out there in the airwaves.
Specifically with business or with everything?
Yeah, anything. What's your dream, girl? If you had a bucket list, what's a couple of things that we can send out to the universe for you? And someone's like, I know who can do that.
Okay. Well, the very current one that's coming for this year is planning a trip to Japan. So that's a big one for me. It was something I was planning on doing before COVID hit, actually. And it obviously got postponed. So now it's back on my radar and I'm planning on doing that this year. So that's in the works. How, I don't know exactly quite yet, but this is actually one of the things that, going back to like those messages, is something that's super aligned for me. Mm-hmm. So I write poetry as well. It's part of my journaling and like the way that I talk to myself and let myself heal and see what needs to come out, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was at my girlfriend's place in Arizona for New Year's, and I was in my room journaling at that point in time. I was thinking about Japan. I wrote this poem and this word, it's just a Japanese word that came up, and I was like, okay, like I don't know Japanese.
Yeah.
This looks Japanese to me. So I'm like, all right, we have to look into this later. And when I did, it's a name of a town in Japan.
Oh, wow.
And it's not a big town. It's not Tokyo. It's not Kyoto. It's like, it's a smaller town. It's like, right. Okay. Universe. Gotcha. It's a place I need to go. I hear you. So that's on my list. And that particular place is on my list. I was thinking about this yesterday because I got a little far off from this vision, but I want a hippie van, which is going to be my healing, mobile healing center.
Yeah,
basically. So originally I thought it was going to be like a Reiki van, but now I was re-envisioning it. And it's like, oh no, it can still, because I still like to do Reiki as well.
Yeah.
But it's going to be beautiful on the inside, really like bohemian, but you know, potentially there's going to be a surfboard up top and the dream catcher and like flowers and all these really, and crystals and pretty things in it. And then have this healing space for either like a table to come up or for me and the client to actually sit and have a coaching session.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can actually go and like travel around and do those things and have like a mobile coaching thing, which is literally came to me this week. It's like, oh, that could be our option. We don't have to be in an office.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like I'm offering online right now, but, I'd like to be able to do and create that. Like, it just seems like a really fun, thing to experience and have. And like, who does, I know, I mean, like any, I don't know about you guys, but whenever you see any of like the Volkswagen, you know, the Volkswagen vans,
of course,
coolest thing. Like, it's not be right.
Totally cool. Totally cool. I remember that was one of the conversations that we had when we were talking, because you've got it on your site about being a hippie. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been called a professional hippie forever. We got to talk. I mean, just the word hippie, right? Like, bonds us out. So anyways, I have to ask you a final question because we are wrapping up. And before I do that, can you please tell our listeners and our viewers where, Shelby, they can find you? It will be in the show notes, you guys. It's always in the show notes, you guys. And she will be all over, you know, she'll be on our website and media page and all of our social channels, as you know. But where can they find you? Right here, right now.
So you can find me at, like, I have my own website, which is shelbythan.ca. I'm pretty sure it's .ca.
I love it.
Recently.
I love it. Just find me.
Just type in my name. It's fine. You'll find me. But yeah, so it's Shelby, a van with two N's. So literally like the hippie van, two N's.
Okay.
And then on Instagram, I'm Intimacy Mistress.
Okay.
And those are basically the two best places to find me right now. And then, if people are interested, I don't know if this is going to be your next question anyway, but if people are interested, one of the free offerings that I've got going on is, I'm starting, as of right now, when we're having this conversation, I'm starting a book club, which is based around like healing books. So this one is Becoming the One by, I don't actually know how to say her name properly, but she's Rising, the person who runs Rising Woman.
Okay.
So her name, I think it's Shelliana, something.
So you have a book club.
I've got a book
club. She has
a
book club, you guys. Yeah.
With this book, it's a healing book and it's got activities that we're going to do in it. So right now that's happening. When this comes out, I'm going to be choosing a new book and starting a new one. So it's free for people to come in and to like meet like-minded people and do the healing work together and create this community and then have kind of like a nice little guidance tool being the book as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So the final question that we have for you, and then we're going to see you on the stage and we're going to see you in another beautiful book is, well, you've got your van. I don't know if it's going to get you to the desert island, but you're going to the desert island. You're going to a desert island and it's just you and you, just you and you. You've got one suitcase and you've got room for one album. So that's it. What album are you taking to this desert island that you just could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your life?
Oh man, that's actually really hard. I really don't like those questions because I have such a variety of things that I really love and enjoy.
I know.
I've been listening to a lot of Halsey lately, but her stuff isn't like the inspiring things that I would choose to want to listen to forever. So, oh God, I don't know. I don't know. Camila Cabello might be my other option. Which album? I'm not sure. But she's got more positive stuff in her album. So I'm going to go with her.
You're going to go with who?
Camila Cabello.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, this has been awesome. This has been fantastic. I can't wait to see the van. You're going to have to haul yourself out to Vancouver. We're going to have to do like a live event. You'll have to be here for the live launch or something. We'll shoot from Shelby's van.
That would be so cool.
That would be so cool. Of course it has to have a surfboard. Look, my son's name's Ocean and he loves LA. And so the whole van thing, I totally get it. I've got surfboards in my house. Literally as decor. So okay. I'm totally there with you. Thank you so much for being on the show. You guys know what to do. You know to share, you know to listen, you know to review, you know to put up an incredible review about today's interview. And look, you guys, this is not difficult. You know, I'm going to say it. If you want to be where Shelby's sitting, you know, really, deb@devdroman.com. I don't know how much easier I could make it for you. Reach out if you want to be sitting on the show because we'd love to have you. We'd love to have that conversation. Shelby is going to be in the 262. You know, we have an up and coming incredible summit series. You're going to hear more about that. Look at Mission Accepted Media Facebook page. You're going to hear all sorts of new stuff that we've just made a massive shift and we're able to get 12 extra summits in. Yes, I know. It's going to be cool. So you'll hear all about it there. And we're talking music. So you guys know, Ireland, August 2023, me and Corrine, crazy, 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 we are walking 8.5 marathons to raise money for the music industry. And we have a crowdfunding page. Just go to They Did It Tour, watch the video of all these incredible people that talk about what music means to them. Because honestly, music is given to us so freely, and this industry is really taking a kick. You know what I mean? They just, 85% of artists cannot pay their rent. So look, let's give back. So we're going to go do the walking. You don't have to do the walk. You just got to follow along and decide that maybe you want to donate something in someone's name for this upcoming holiday season. Okay. Thanks for being you. Shelby, thanks for being on the show. You guys stay groovy, and we will see you again very soon. Bye for now.